Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're talking about the mystery of creative awakening and awakening through the soul and through love. And I am so honored and so grateful for Zen Benefield. He's joining us today. He's an expert in so many things. I would love for him to introduce himself in just a minute. You might notice that we're shifting. We're just changing, and I'm finding that being creative is really helpful for times when things change, because we were going to have another guest and things just didn't work out for her this time. So we have this opportunity and to shift, and we're going to learn about expanding our consciousness and just delving into this deep world of energy and expansion so that we can move towards our dreams. Using that spark within ourselves, connecting to who we are, connecting to our dreams, and remembering them all, and really knowing that we can move through any blocks because we can expand and we don't have to be limited. We have our soul guidance. We have so many things through our heart. And the path can open unexpectedly. And then there's these powerful new awakenings. This is what we're experiencing. So please help me welcome Zen, and please introduce yourself to everyone that's here.
Namaste and in La Ketch. My name's Zen Benefield, and I'm kind of a spiral wizard of sorts, I suppose, in the journey that I've been on in life. I was orphan adopted, raised by a wonderful family, got into music. As we're going to be talking further, I've been a drummer for almost 55, 56 years now, and I'm still playing. My wife's a piano pedagogue from Russia, so both of us are percussionists, and we love to tap on things. I've also taken another route, too, in order to bring things into more practical and pragmatic formations, if you will, with a couple of master's degrees in business, and I've been in a number of different industries and had a lot of fun in each, including music. And I have just had a wonderful life and been able to experience a lot of things, and way too much to go into. I could talk for days about those, so I'll keep it short for now. Thank you for having me, Karen.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I was available. And thank you. You have been doing some powerful coaching for people. Be the dream. It's fun to see how our messages and our paths are kind of overlapping, one of those circles, and we see how we're all one.
Well, you know, patterns intertwine, and the interconnectedness of all things becomes really obvious when you become aware and you start looking and you pay attention to the things like the synchronicities you just mentioned.
Yes. You know. It's a lot about listening and tuning in and tapping into those vibrations, because
absolutely,
life is these vibrations and these messages, the hidden messages. We think
sometimes they're not so hidden, right?
Yeah.
You know, quantum physics now says we're all energy, we're all vibration. Just how do we tune in? You know, our bodies are instruments, just like your viola, right? How do we tune them, let alone learn how to play in concert? That's kind of what we're doing right now, especially coming out of COVID. Right, there was this opportunity to sequestrate, self-examine, and determine a different course for our lives if we were so able to do so. A lot of people did. And so we're seeing a lot of things shifting in our environment and world scene as a result.
It reminds me of when I'm in a studio, a place I love to be, and you have all these different parts, and you want to bring out the volume of this one and bring
Right.
this volume down because
We're all
you
different
have
voices, right?
too many, then you don't can't focus on what it really is about. And in our lives, sometimes the most powerful voice is the whisper, and it's tuning ourselves and finding that balance so the chaos isn't as loud. And then we can tune into that harmony, and we can just kind of drop into that space where we can expand and we can breathe
Sure.
and we can hear
One thing
what
about
our
chaos
path
too,
is.
it's just patterns we don't recognize. So in this music of the spheres, if you will, some of it sounds cacophonic until we can still ourselves enough to just be observant, not projective or pushing or pulling or doing any of those kinds of things, just being quiet, paying attention, and then allowing the curiosity to emerge.
Yes, in my process and in my method, I like for people to really tune in. And today we're talking about creativity. So it's about finding that spark, the spark we had when we were children, and something things that excite us and things that led us to where we are. And then to really notice, are there challenges, are things that interfering, so we're not really being able to move in that same level of excitement, and what are the blocks, and how do we move them, remove them, so we can just continue to flow. So those are some of the things that I really want to focus on
Well,
today.
Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi had a great book called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience, and he refers to it as a jazz quartet jamming, right? Egos disappear, time disappears, you're just there in a conversation with your being, which includes your instrument.
Yeah, that's a great example. When I moved into improvisation, that's when I really felt so free, because until then I was trying to be perfect and you're
As we all are,
competing
right?
and all these things. And when I just got that ability to really connect to my creator and to be in this zone and just to channel, the power just came and there was just no fear. So when we could step into that place where we're really united and the ego isn't there and time has stopped and we just flow and we're flying, really. And especially fun when we share
I
it
don't
and
know
we
if
can
it
help people.
stops or whatever. It just becomes inconsequential.
It's a different type of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no limits. So to help people find that place in them, we all have different places where we can
Sure. Well,
be in
perfect
our
example. I
center.
remember playing with a guy, this has been years ago. He was playing a tambura, and I was playing tabla. And we went into this really deep place, and we were there for half an hour, 45 minutes, felt like five.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful experience when that happens. I'm having a light show right now. Isn't that
I
interesting?
can, well, yeah, that's beautiful,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, the transformation of
And the
light.
guys are coming in, they're saying, hey, we want to play too.
Yeah, this is fun. Wow. So, you never know the difference of light,
Just got to let it flow,
the
right?
different
It's
times of
all
day,
light.
right? Yeah, it's great. I'm just kind of wondering about it though. But yeah, so can you tell us some stories about some transformations you've been able to be a part of?
Oh, gosh. Do you want personal, group,
Oh, you can
organizations? What
choose
would you
right now.
like?
I'm going to listen to you and I'm just going to check out this light.
Well, initially, my first dive into transformation through music was in college. I was in the pre-med program, Ball State University, Muncie, Indiana, living in the honors dorm. And I'd test out of five quarters going in between my first and second real quarters. I had Just a major kerfuffle. I did not know, medicine didn't seem like the right way to go. I was distraught emotionally, and so I knelt in prayer. And I'm not ashamed, or I'm actually pretty confident in that now. Prayer does a lot of things. What I prayed was, Father, I want to know what truth is, and I'm willing to die for it if necessary. And lo and behold, all right, that was 1975. So I came back from class on the Tuesday and did the obligatory things after class and was listening to an album. It was Journey's first album, which is really an exploration of soul. If you have an opportunity to listen, that's the self-titled album. And it came out in 1975 as well. In the second song, I was meditating, laying across my bed. And in between the vocals and the vamp, there was a voice I'd been familiar with since I found out I was adopted, and asked the question, you know, if I have a father and mother in heaven, can I talk to them? I'm 4.5 years old. Turns out it could. A voice came shortly thereafter, startled me. I spun around to ask if my mother could hear it. She said, nope, must have been a peeping Tom. And I realized, there's something else going on here because I know what I heard. And so this same voice asked me by name if I was willing to die for what I believed in. And I had a, you know, kind of a tense moment for a little bit. Not really. My first thought was Christ consciousness, because that's what we really desire, in my opinion. And it felt a little empty for some reason, though. So I passed on it, and I searched for something that felt full. Landed on cosmic consciousness. It felt full, so I said yes. And then there was a guitar riff that came up, sounded like a rocket ship taking off, and I got a tug from my solar plexus. It popped out of body, turned to look at my body laying across my bed, turned back to look where I was going, and was immediately engulfed by white light. I won't go into what happened, but when I came back 2 minutes and 42 seconds later, the first thing I realized is that we're all cosmic consciousness condensed into form, just unaware. So at 18, that's a heck of a rite of passage. And I've spent my life figuring out how to articulate and share that in greater and greater degrees for personal transformation as well as group and organizational transformation. It's all the same thing. It's all about tuning in, learning how to work together, getting the egos out of the way. It's kind of like, you know, no ego without we go, right? Egos are still present, but they transform into servant leaders that are collaborative as opposed to competitive, which is what generally happens across the board in any industry you want to go into. That's generally the flavor. So that was the first musical excursion that I had that, I mean, there was a lot of things. I loved to listen, play drums, and it's just a joy to be able to allow yourself the freedom to explore and just let go. And some of the stuff you can do in that state when you listen to the recording afterwards, right? It's just like, holy shit, did I do that? Wow, that was really cool, right? But you don't realize it in flow. You're just in flow because you're not attached. You're not thinking, right? When as soon as you start thinking, you usually make mistakes because you're trying to, uh-oh, wait a minute, I got to do this, got to do that. No, that's not how music works when you're playing with each other, right?
That's right. Yes, so that's a beautiful story, and I think we can all relate in our own ways, not specifically, but to think of those times when we were really kind of moved beyond time and space so that we could flow, and how to get to that place where we can think bigger, especially if we're kind of stuck. One of the themes of the show is how to become unblocked, how to become unstuck, because sometimes that just happens. We're going along and things are great, and some big thing could happen. Or maybe we're just feeling, we take a pause and it's like, wow, I didn't think I'd still be here. I thought I'd be over there. And just those
Well, it's all
chances.
perspective, right? You know,
Yes.
we think it's perception. It's not. It's perspective, because our perspective manages our perception. So if we shift, for instance, in that place of quandary, right? When you're feeling your gut quiver, right? Most of us go to that place of, oh shit, something's going to happen, right? And we're looking around for the other shoe to drop. Well, that's not necessarily the case. That's one side of it. There's also the other side of it that is a quickening, an anticipation of something really cool about to happen. And how, so there's two different perspectives from which we view it from. One that's self-diminishing, the fear-based one, or one that's self-actualizing, which is the love-based one. And all we really want in life is to love and be loved, right? That's our core desire. Even in music, it's just like we love the music and it loves us back through the other musicians that we're jamming with, right? There's that shared love space. And it's not a woo-woo thing. There's science behind it now, too, with all the realizations and information that's been coming out about quantum physics and vibrations and how, you know, we each carry a particular vibration. We don't necessarily have the instrumentation to measure it yet or define it. I have a feeling that's coming.
Yes, and I like to connect to the listener in time, whenever it is, and really connect to the angels and the higher selves to really guide the vibrations. So it's really through the heart, through the love, connecting in that way and feeling that circular expression. And then when it's in a group, listening in a group, or however it is, just all the different forms of love and where it can touch. And especially so beautiful is our brain's ability to rewire. So when we really meditate and tap into where is that pain, where is that rub, where is that uncomfortable feeling, where is that in my life that just doesn't
Sure.
change the
And
way
it's not
I
an operation
try.
of choice, of free will, right? This is where we can choose to
Well, I
think
also
differently.
think it's surrender. I believe a lot in the higher power and the
That's a
creative universal
choice.
energy,
That is a
and
choice.
it is a choice, but then sometimes it's beyond our own level of power and control that allows the miracles to happen. I'm a big believer in miracles that can come into our lives when
Me
we
too, but
surrender
there's
and
also
trust.
science behind that, and it's more to do with where we are than where what's outside of us.
Yeah, we have a lot of power within us, and sometimes we don't realize it. We're not able to realize it, especially if
Right.
we're feeling down or depressed.
Sure.
Everything's dark and other people have more and other people are happier and it's easier
Well,
and
there's
it's
some ancient
real.
technology there too. You know, the a lot of folks, we have these, you know, spiritual books and things that are a few thousand years old. There's one that's 15,000 years old that was written in Sanskrit. It's called the Vedas, and they're Sanskrit poems. And basically what they say is that we're all divine threads incarnate, connected to source, and capable of God consciousness. You know, even the Bible says we're sons and daughters. Well, what are we when we grow up? Right, we have that. Now, that doesn't mean we're all powerful or that we're usurping, you know, the greater being, right? That means we have a divine thread that's infinite intelligence that's available to us individually, specifically, that we're able to tune in and ask questions and get those answers that are specific to us. Sometimes those apply to whatever activities we're in and the groups we're involved with or organizations or things like that. It just depends on the specific circumstances and situation that we're questioning.
Yeah, and how we can meet any resistance, that we can just use it as a turning point, as an awareness point, as a point that's just showing us something that we want healed and
And the
changed.
resistance is where you lean in, right? You just say, okay, I'm feeling this. All right, there's something there for me. Because there's, unless you got a gun to your head or you're in a situation, you know, where your life is actually threatened, which is extremely rare, then that's the door, right? That's the breadcrumb, right? That is placed before you to lean into, pick up, and take your next step in working through that door of fear, which is usually only false evidence appearing real because it's something you've created that really doesn't exist.
And I like to think of it in terms of light, light overcoming darkness, that spark that spark of life within us. And just knowing that that's there and that's what we want to tune into, that's what we want to have expand, and just help us so much to get in that calm place where we can know and see where the path is. And that's really creativity, because we're all created in the
we're all
image
creators
of everything great. Yeah, we're creators, we're co-creators, and we have so much choice, so much ability, but it's when we don't feel the strength within, and then we can receive help from others. It's just accepting help from others. I think sometimes
oh yeah,
the hardest
being
part
able
is
to
realizing
ask first
I can't
of all,
do it myself
right?
alone. Yes.
This is a DIY world. Well, not really, right? No man is, or woman is an island unto themselves. We're all connected.
And
Right,
our life has
our
flows.
pre-chat before the show was, you know, evidence of that.
Yes.
All the different synchronicities that we found within.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. And just kind of moving through them, and where we are in the world today. There's so many ways of looking at what's going on, and many ways it's not easy to understand. So we really have to be grounded and knowing.
Well, I think
That
that's a false belief
it's all.
system right there, and the reason I do is we are designed to seek the mysteries and to understand. We just don't ask the right questions, and we have self-deprecating and the lack of self-love that and lack of self-confidence, so that we don't think we the imposter syndrome, right? We're never enough, don't have enough, aren't enough, don't know enough, all of those kinds of things. Yet everything is inside of us. We just have to trust it. And that's where we don't. Right?
Well, I
We
don't
make
like
that
to go into
separation
negative
of.
terms. It feels a little judgmental to me. I like to
What's
really be
that?
accepting. All the you know, just the stance that we might be doing it wrong, because I think
We don't do
it's
anything
more
wrong.
than
We just
that.
do. Right? That's where we have that challenge of judging ourselves and self-deprecating. And we mentioned this earlier, you know, 70,000 thoughts a day. How many of those are self-deprecating? And so that's
Actually,
part of
I've
the
gotten to
business.
stop those loops, the negative loops in my mind, pretty much. So,
Well, that's the discipline, right? Where we begin to become aware and we take the time to step back and watch or just listen to our own thinking, first of all. And then with the intention of ferreting out those things that don't serve us.
And I also love David Hawkins' triangle about the different energy
Power versus
states.
force, and yeah.
And you know, like the, you know, just the anxiety and the jealousy and all those fears have such a low vibrational energy.
Same
And
with spiral dynamics, right? And
peace
how
and love and
civilizations.
bliss, you know, how the energy is just rising. And we can notice the people around too, what the vibrational level is. And we can, when we pause and tune into ourselves, what is our vibrational level? And just finding tools, I think all a lot of the sound healing tools help us to raise our vibration and to find more.
Well, and sometimes, you know, this vibrational level, right? Some people, what? Right? So it's how you feel, right? Do you feel joy? Do you feel sadness? Do you feel pressure on your abdomen? Do you, you know, is there some place in your body that's tingling? Or, you know, this one things that we don't do. We live from the shoulders up usually. We don't pay attention to what's going on in our body. And it's a transceiver. It's an instrument. And it's connected to everything. We just
Yes.
need to learn how to interpret those signals differently. And then adjust with looking for the love that resides in everything.
Yes, and to just really tune in to things that are vibrating. We entrain with what we're around, or what we listen to, or what we feel. So if you can walk in a room and it could feel weird, or it could be around a person and they just don't feel right, and to listen to that part, because it's 80%, 95%, all different numbers you hear is everything that's unseen. And it's subconscious. So that's really the level where the vibrations go and where we can tap in.
And we get into Jungian, right? They're making the unconscious conscious, which we are capable of doing.
We are capable, but also it's a feeling too. And the trust that, and knowing that that could change.
Yeah, and the subtle, like we were talking, the subtle impressions, right? Those are the most important ones. That still small voice, that little, that first guess, not the second one, right? Because the first one we usually ignore because we don't trust it. And we pick up something that is either codependent or projective rather than embracing.
I'd like to start with the fact that we embrace. I like to start with the positive because I know we all can do that. It's just working into feeling better and more comfortable within ourselves. And the symptoms of what we're thinking and doing is in our lives. We can just look at what's appearing in our lives. And if we don't like it, like what can we do to change it? And what is there that we can't change? And what choices can we make? And like the Serenity Prayer. That's really a key that there's always an answer in that,
Sure.
a big
Well,
answer in that.
and with my coaching business, this is one of the things I do. Gosh, I'm fastidious. I have a 13-page survey that I give before I even talk to them. We have a first initial conversation, but before we start the program, they fill out the survey. And from that, I get how they talk or how they write, how they express, how deeply they express, how vulnerable they can become, what their general flavor is, so how they're communicating. So it gives me an idea of where those constriction might be. And then throughout the conversations, we pick up on what their inner development is, what their outer goals are, and then we work on merging those two so that they can feel more fulfillment in what they're doing and their passion and purpose is more present.
Yes, there's so many beautiful stories of sharing. Yeah,
There's
it's
it's
the world is unlimited. We're unstoppable.
we are. We really are. We just and as we with and here we get into a much larger perspective, right, with the calendars and where we are in space and spinning around the Earth, spinning around the sun, spinning around the center of the galaxy. And we're in a different area of space now that the vibrational level in general is slightly higher than where it was a couple of decades ago. What's that do? Well, it brings things that don't fit in harmony to the surface for examination and either retrofitting, rejection, reformatting, all of those kinds of things that we see going on in the world right now in
Yes.
major ways. Now, what
Resetting.
kind of music can we create with that? Music's the language of the soul, right? How do we express the love that we know we have? First of all, we've got to love ourselves, right? That all of that self-deprecation and self-annihilation, right? Feeling like we've got to be a martyr or something like that. We've got to just look at that and say, okay, now is that something that's really necessary? Or would I rather want to be in a different place where I'm having that sense of love? And then we can reflect on times in our lives when we've had that sense of interconnectedness to the point where it's undeniable and we witness the miracle because we've experienced it. So there's a sensation, there's a file in our memory that we have that we can call up and restore that sense, that feeling, that even the thoughts that go along with it that edify that whole being that is now able to express from a much different place.
Yes, feeling free to be comfortable with who we are. And if we're in settings or relationships or whatever where we don't feel that ability, then it's a good thing to really examine that. And perhaps
And
you
we can't
can.
necessarily play fast and loose, right? Or you use your or lose the oh my gosh, I lost the term for the you lose your bow or sticks go flying as a drummer, right? And you got to keep picking things up. Well, that's a little too fast and loose, right?
But also, I can share this from personal experience. There were certain times in my life when other people might have chosen to just make major changes in their life, like they had to do all these things, and I didn't get that message. And instead, I really worked hard on myself. And when you really change, the people around you, they have to treat you differently, and your whole life changes. It's just amazing. The miracles can happen from within, and then they happen around us, and it's not for everybody. For some people, it might be a major change, and for other people, it's just to be more aware of how can they change how they're treated, because they know they aren't meant to be spoken.
Now you're talking about boundaries, right?
Like
how
that.
Do you set
yes.
appropriate boundaries? And because when you do, right, my wife has this issue. She's Piscean and piano pedagogue, right? So in dealing with students and parents, there's this challenge that she has, especially when she doesn't have a supportive parent or has one that's being a little aggravating. You know, how do you set the boundaries in that? How do you speak to another person to say, you know, that's not cool. I'd appreciate it if you don't do that. Right? Because I feel this when that happens, and I don't want to feel that way. It may not be your intention. I'm just drawing attention to this so that we can both see this pattern that's happening here, and what can we do to change it?
And the worst thing, since I've been in that position, is when you see the parent doing that to the child, and you know that the child is internalizing that, and that's really difficult to try to bring in energy of love to help the child know from inside that it's not about them. It's some pattern the parent learned when they were a child, and
right.
that's
And at
something
our
that
age,
I've learned.
the parents are, you know, they're young enough to be our children. Right,
Well,
because
and
they
that's
can.
not really the point that I'm trying to make, because no matter how old we are, we still have our parents inside of us and what messages we got. Even if, however much our relationships now change,
I was speaking to
it
that
still
child still
points.
being present in the adult.
Yes, for our whole lives. And it's really miraculous and magnificent as you see those relationships change and the relationship with yourself. And everything change in your life, and it has little
When
to
you do
do
it right,
sometimes.
or
Yes.
you do it with love and attention and intention, then the interactions change automatically, and you can
Yes.
feel that it's almost, I've had situations where that's come up, and you can actually feel the heart opening. Not just your own, but the other person or the group. When you can bring them to a point of recognition of, hey, this feels uncomfortable. Let's see what we can do about it in order to elevate the situation and what needs to be done to do that. Now, taking the time to do that rather than ignoring it and trying to push through, you've got to be willing and vulnerable enough to say, hey, guys, you know, we need to take time out here and let's look at what's going on, and because things aren't working like I know you would love them to work. So what can we do to make this better for all of us?
It's beautiful. I had the opportunity, the gift of being with an online group, and I was able to offer my music, and the people were so receptive, and it was a beautiful group of people, and you could see them change, the looks on their faces, the whole energy lifted for each one of us and for the group, and to be able to do that and experience it it's just beautiful.
Amazing. And, you know, and there's so many different environments that I've been from, you know, in education with a classroom, right? You can see the shift. And with the, and it's a different language, right? Because you have to understand your audience and how to speak to them in their language. Otherwise, they're not going to hear you. Or if they do, they're going to misunderstand you. Now, in partnering workshops, I did for a decade and a half, I did partnering workshops, which is basically team building for stakeholder teams for construction projects that are 2 to 5 years long. And so this could be 20 people in a room, could be 80 was my largest one. And being able to watch the room and take them through the process of bringing them all onto the same page so that the job becomes the boss and everybody wins.
Nice. Yeah.
It's
That's really
you
awesome.
know, I was surprised at how easy it was for me, but it seemed to be, it's my nature, right? To step in the middle of chaos and create order and or see order and then expose it. Well, I've had some folks, you know, watch what I do, and those are like, man, I would never, I would be so intimidated stepping into the center of a room like that. And yeah, initially maybe I was, because I was so new to it, I wasn't sure how it was going to work. However, my intention was to serve the team.
Let's
And
talk
so I
about
just
your new
listened.
book, Planetary Citizens: Awakening the Heart of
Yeah,
Humanity.
Planetary Citizens,
Yes.
Awakening the Heart of Humanity. It takes the model that I have online, which is planetarycitizens.net. And this goes back to that happening at 18, then my rite of passage. I was given a mission, and my marching orders were to learn how to facilitate people, places, and things into harmony. Much grander scale, but you got to work small and figure out how to work the bugs out of the system before you go big. So this is a 50-year compilation of the research and study that I've done. And so I take the spiral dynamics model from the Beck-Graves model and Planetary Citizens, which was started by Donald Keyes back in the 70s, and merge those into a model that uses the co-creation wheel and breaks down the 12 sectors, which Barbara Marx Hubbard and some of her team helped in the development of. And these sectors are various areas of society. So the whole picture is a holistic model, but we don't treat it holistically. We're all separative, we're all competitive. There's silos everywhere. So this model basically gives the opportunity to mitigate those silos and begin to have the overall conversations of how to learn to work together, because we have everything with the resources, distribution systems. We've got everything we need to take care of each other. We just don't, because it's mismanaged. So this model brings out better management from the servant leader standpoint. And I've got several other servant leader books and things like that that I've written that supports that. And it's all And I've got 3.5 years of research in how people have gone through their own. And these are CEOs, authors, AI company owners. I mean, you can't imagine the panoply of guests that I've had. But they've all given me what I was able to do was to draw out the golden threads from all those conversations by using AI to go through the transcripts and pull those details out, so that I have some good material that proves what I hoped to begin with, and that the process is pretty much the same. The details are always different, they're always unique. The process is generally the same as far as what we go through in our own awakening and our ability to integrate and understand the interconnectedness between everything. Now the challenge comes in, okay, we've got a skill set that we've developed over 30 years, 40 years, whatever. Now we're not in that corporation. We've just been booted out because of what happened with COVID. Now where do we find that skill set? We don't get rid of it, which we often think, oh, we got to start over. No, it's not a complete start over. It's how do you transfer those skills into something that actually fulfills your passion and purpose? Now, what's your
Yeah.
purpose? Well, that's something that, coaching helps to bring out as we dive deep and explore what those possibilities might be.
That's beautiful. And you have many books. I think you said 42 books. And where can
43.
people find
This
them?
is Planetary Citizens is
Oh,
43. I'm on
yes, yeah.
Amazon. I also have an author site. It's zenbenefiel-author.com, or you can just go to zenbenefiel.com, and it's got pretty much everything. That it's my digital vitae, if you will. And then my coaching site's bethedream.com.
Wow, that's so exciting. And you have
I have fun
such a
with life.
background. Yeah, you have an MBA, or you have all these
I
degrees
have an
as well.
MBA, project management. I have an MA in organizational management. I've got life
Wow.
coach certification, partnering certification, hypnotherapy certification,
Wow.
secondary teaching certification, and an honorary doctorate in divinity.
Wow, where's that from?
Universal Life Church.
Oh, that's great. Wow, that's so impressive. And I see your beautiful background with nature. Do you love nature?
I do. This is where Jesus appeared to me at a spiritual retreat with a bunch of other folks and asked to speak through me. It's the only time I've ever channeled. And it was just amazing. I didn't want to say a word afterwards.
Wow.
It was an I'll thumbnail it for you. We're 13 people. We're all in our 30s. There's a leader that's in his 60s. I think he was 65 at the time. He was sitting on a tree stump. They're sitting on the log that was the tree. And I'm sitting facing the facilitator with the group to my left, with my back to the lake, just like it is here. And he asked us to act as if Jesus was in our presence and talk to him. And the group had just amazing difficulty with it, right? There was a chasm that they could not cross, and they were asking questions of him how to cross that. And I listened for a while, and I was like, hey, it's easy. It's like this. Yo, dude, glad to have you here. Let's party, right? I was a little exuberant, and it was a little over the top, I think, for the facilitator. And he kind of grumbled a little bit and said, well, okay, I think we're done with that for now. And he said, I'd like to take you on a guided meditation. And what I want you to do is close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths, and then we'll get started. So I closed my eyes, took my first deep breath, and a light pops on above me. Eyes closed. I look up internally. Guess who? Ray of light from his forehead and from his heart connect about 18 inches above my head and bathe me in that effervescent, iridescent, high-pitched sensation that I recognized from the white light that I experienced as a teen. So I knew the purity of it at that point. And he says to me, I would like to speak through you. Well, at that time, I became a bawling baby because I felt so unworthy, right? And then I got rid of all that unworthiness and just said, okay, I'm not going to pass this opportunity up. So I centered, took another deep breath, opened my mouth up, first words out, know that I am with you always. That's kind of a ubiquitous statement, right? And then the second sentence was got me. He says, this one's fear is great, talking about me. And I'm like, what you talking about, Willis? Right? And so you're familiar with the term bifurcation? So I split my consciousness. I continued talking to the group. Don't know what I said to this day. And we had a sidebar. And the first thing that he says to me in the sidebar is, your fears are the same as mine were. And that just melted me. And then we had a conversation. I showed, like video vignettes. And I don't know how long this took. Next thing I know, I'm hearing a branch break, somebody walking up the trail and stepped on a branch. And I open my eyes up, and the entire group staring at me with their mouths gaping. And afterwards, they asked me all kinds of questions. I didn't want to talk. All they could do was, And I did that for 3 hours before I said a word. Now, that kind of experience is rare, unique. It's a personal testimony that I'll stack up against anybody. And yet, it's not about what the usual framework is about him, right? He's a brother, right? He's a friend. He's a confidant. He's there with us all the time. He's internal. All you got to do is talk to him and shut up and listen, right? Same with necromancy, right? Talking to dead people. You got friends or neighbors or relatives or whatever. All you got to do is picture their face, look into their eyes, talk to them, and then trust what happens after that. And not try to diminish or deny it, which is what we generally do.
Yes, we all have our own way of hearing and our own way of knowing. And that's beautiful, the experience that you've had and that you can share. And there's so many ways our lives can flow and
Music
move
does it too,
and
right? I mean,
change.
classical music, you play, so you know the sense, especially when you're playing with an orchestra. Right, and you're all in that unified field. It is so powerful. I could not sit in Symphony Hall when I first started going to the symphony. It was too strong. Now my wife, she's a classical pianist, so we've been going to the symphony more often, and I've learned how to manage that better, and not feel the, not be overwhelmed.
Yes, all the harmonies. They're always with us in all different forms and ways. It might be a symphony orchestra. It might be when we listen to one of our favorite songs. It might make us dance. It might make us cry. It might make us fall asleep. It can take us to so many places. And to know that the vibrations are within us and just a way to move through our blocks and bring us to our joys and to comfort us. It's one of the greatest gifts we have. It's so available, and the
carry a tune
power
in your head,
to
right? What's your go-to tune? What is your go-to tune, Karen?
My go-to tune? Oh, gosh, it kind of changes. For me, when I play, it's just centering, like toning with the vibrations. And
now, do you ever, when you're quiet, and when you're really, really, really quiet, do you hear a tone? Do you hear that high-pitched tone?
Well, I
It's
don't hear a high.
almost inaudible. You really have to get deep and listen deeply. The Hindus call it they say it's sabda. The English say it's shabda. And it's called the sound current, which is the collection of all the frequencies of life forms on the planet
I
and
also like to
potentially
hear
beyond them.
the om connecting with the sound of the earth that really grounds us and really feeling the presence of that and
Well, that's an
harmonies.
initiated sound. I'm talking about just being still and going into that really, 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 really deep listening place.
Yes. Yes, I'd like to share that. Yeah. I'm going to be playing at Times Square for Earth Day with
Far out.
Tadashi.
Congratulations. That's really cool.
Doing meditation. Yeah, and going to Sedona. I have many exciting things coming up. So it's beautiful when we have these opportunities to share in all these different ways that we have. We're all unique. And our presence is our gift to ourselves and to each other. And our connection and the listening, it's so beautiful, especially through our hearts. So I would like, thank you so much for stepping in today, for
You're
saying
welcome.
yes.
Yeah, when I opened or when I came in, namaste and in Lakech, namaste comes from Sanskrit. Sometimes you'll hear namaskar. It means I worship that which is within you.
Yes.
Sanskrit, right? Ancient language. In Lakech is a shortened form of In Lakech Alaken, which basically means, and it's a Mayan phrase, and it means I am another you.
Oh,
So
beautiful.
Being able to get that, because we are each other, right? We share the energy. The physical forms are energy themselves. That, you know, when we look it down to the micro level, the subatomic level, there's more space than there is particles. And even the particles are just energy. I had a conversation with Dr. Irvin Laszlo, and I thought I was going to, you know, sound smart, right? So I said, well, you know, quantum physics, we got 99% space and 1% matter. And he says to me, you know, I'd say it's 100% energy.
Yes.
Now, that was a 90-year-old wise man. He's known as the grandfather of quantum systems thinking.
Wow. What is his name again?
Dr. Irvin Laszlo. He's been nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize. He's written 75 books. His son, Alexander, is actually on the board for Planetary Citizens.
Beautiful. It's awesome. It's exciting.
It is.
I love it. Well,
so now over to you for the closing cue.
We've been talking for so long, and we hope we'll get another chance to talk.
That'd be
I
great.
Cannot thank you enough for all that you share, that you shared with us now, and that you share always in your life with others.
It's
and
spontaneous,
your
right? That's how this happened. It was spontaneous. Okay, I'm available. Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, I know. Just a really great blessing. I can't thank you enough. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to ask if anyone would like to call in, and we would like to come together and share together the harmony and the clearing and the connecting. So I have had someone that has requested a healing for them, and I'd like us for all to tap into this energy of the creativity within us. And helping clear any of those voices that tell us that we aren't enough, that we can't do it, that we shouldn't be doing it, that other people do it better. That part of us that feels that love is struggle and love is pain. And to go to that place where we can now allow the vibrations to clear that, to rewire our brain so we can be free. And we can have this opportunity to really to step even more into our power and into grace and into our voice. So get comfortable and take a deep, close your eyes and take a deep breath in through your nose and pause. Release it through your mouth with a sigh. And do that again. One more time, and then breathe comfortably. Namaste. Many blessings. Your soul has a sound when you listen. It will lead you home. Many blessings and much love, and I will see you next time.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.